This next session is on the future of video, and Natalie is going to start this off. And with luck, our 10 o'clock speaker will run in the door at 10 o'clock.
I hope our speaker appears. She has a very tight window, so she's going to literally run in and then run out. I don't have any slides. I'm just going to give a little introduction to the next series of talks. And also, before I do that, I wanted to just mention that all the presentations for today's conference will be on our website within a couple of weeks. So a few people have asked me about that. So the slides will be available, and as Dave mentioned, that we're recording it, so there'll be the audio as well. And hopefully I can get some notes written up as well. So the next set of talks is going to focus on the work that different parts of CFP is doing that's related to the future of television and video. And I just released a white paper last month that's part of a series of papers that's coming out of the Value Chain Dynamics Working Group, which is the part of CFP that is rooted in the Sloan School. And I've covered most of the ideas in that paper already in previous CFP meetings, so I'm not going to be presenting it here. I'm just going to very briefly summarize that paper. Oh, good, our speaker's here. Hi, Catherine. I'm going to just briefly summarize that paper and talk about what the next steps are for that, and then the rest of the presentations are going to be, they're going to sort of extend and complement that study by taking a closer look at different dimensions of the bigger story. So the future of content paper, there's a copy of it. You can get it on the website, or you can just email me if you have any problems finding it. I'm basically focused on the role of content as a strategic value variable in the competitive dynamics between the traditional pay TV services and the emerging online services. And for the most part, I explore the competitive dynamics through the classic disruption lens, the Clay Christensen story. And the study was basically my response to the claims that were being made by the incumbent pay TV providers about 5 years ago that the online distributors were never going to win because they just didn't have the kind of high-quality content that was demanded by consumers, which at that time was pretty much under their exclusive control. And so the whole, Christensen's whole point is that disruption changes the terms of competition. So I really thought the question was, well, we need to start exploring what the new terms of competition are. And anyway, so there are a couple of things happened starting around 2012 that really began to challenge this assumption that the incumbents had about their exclusive hold on this high-quality content. And the first was that the amount of high-quality content available in the online ecosystem, meaning without a pay TV subscription, was starting to increase. So the big three online providers like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu were starting to invest in original content. Around the same time, the studios were starting to distribute more of their content to the online distributors, so they were bypassing the traditional TV networks. And then the TV networks themselves, like HBO and Showtime, they were starting to release their own standalone online services. So there was more and more content available without a pay TV subscription. But then the other thing that happened, and this was the part that I actually really thought was the most interesting and the most in need of some kind of more thorough investigation, was that the evolution of online video distribution platforms there were this new category of platforms that were starting to deliver new types of content. So not just the user-generated content that we saw on YouTube in the early years, but increasingly professional content that really didn't look anything like traditional TV at all. So the important point here is that these new services, they signaled a shift in user demands and user expectations regarding, what they were consuming in the way of video content. So not just, how and where they were accessing it, but what they were actually consuming. And this is particularly among millennials and younger demographics. So the point is that disruption is not just about, in this case, it's not just about new online distribution channels displacing traditional distribution channels. It's about entirely new types of content with new attributes that derive from the properties of the new distribution platform, so technical, economic, regulatory, and behavioral. So the paper offered a few sort of very early data points regarding customer demands for these new types of media services, including both viewers or end users, but also advertisers. What did advertisers find interesting about these new video services? And so the paper concludes really with a discussion on the interdependencies between all these different kinds of services, rather than saying, you know, one's going to take over the other. It was really looking at what has become a much more complex ecosystem. And so the next steps in the research, which I've started working on with my colleague Sergey over at the Sloan School, is really to try to model this very complex ecosystem and then map the money flows associated with it, while at the same time keeping tabs on how televisual media is evolving as an experience. So the next set of talks are going to include, first of all, Catherine Tucker, as David mentioned. She's from the Sloan School, and her work is related to digital marketing, and her presentation is going to take a closer look at some of the unique attributes of online advertising from the advertiser's point of view. Chintan Vaishnav, also from the Sloan School, is going to introduce a framework called the Dominant Design Framework to try to understand how can we think about how these services are going to evolve now that we've got this completely undefined or multi-defined way of understanding what television is. How can we think about how that's going to evolve? And Andy then is going to talk about the Ultimate Media Initiative at the Media Lab, where they're developing apps that are shaping and redefining visual media. And then Fernando Bittencourt, who is formerly with Globo for, I think it was 47 years, he's going to report on the 2015 International Broadcasting Convention that took place last month in Amsterdam by way of highlighting what the industry is thinking about, and also show us some interesting data that they presented there. So,
Catherine.
Yes, Catherine.